You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to the Game Week 8 Wildcard Pod of the FPL Wire, powered by Dreamset Go. I'm your host, Zofa, and I'm supposed to be joined by Lee Treasure, and he's back. How are you doing, buddy? One second. I think I have you muted. Let me fix that. There you go.
I was refreshing the stream on YouTube, and I just came back to this window, and I was like wondering, what the hell? I logged out of this somehow. How's it going, man? Just managed to come in time.
Perfect time. It would be nice, funny to introduce you to a black screen, especially there's no Bakker today. Bakker has been traveling, so he's not joining us today. He'll be back with us next week. But it's been a relaxing international break, sort of switched off from FPL, doing a lot of gaming, watching a lot of Seinfeld. He's like a bit of a mini vacation in the middle. And it's nice with there's a bit of cricket also going on.
Nice. You mentioned, it's been pretty relaxing for you. It's not the case here. I mean, I'm right into it, tuned in. Work's really busy, so kind of busy with that. I've got my, I play this Fantrax draft in the second international break since about 9 or 10 years now. Probably my favorite time of the season. So doing that with some old school FF Scout folks. So enjoying that. And then wildcarding, I mean, we've been bouncing thoughts off each other for the past week as well. So it'll be interesting where this conversation leads. Just acquiring as much information as we can on a day-to-day basis. How was your last week?
Horror show. Absolute horror show. I wasn't sure if I was going to wildcard. It was sort of a wait and watch. But just seeing the shift Manchester United put in, seeing Watford offering little, I pushed the button on Saturday evening. I'm all in.
Yeah, you were a little wary about pushing the button. And you were like, I might or might not do it on Saturday. But I think that Manchester performance was enough for you.
I couldn't bear to see three of their players in my team anymore. They just had to go.
Yep, with you on that. I had a pretty decent week. Had a little bit of a fling with Chilwell before I pushed the wildcard button. He might still stay in the draft. So Jimenez and Chilwell bought in some differential points. But the big story is there was a last-minute wildcard for our friend, Big Man Bakker. I think he pulled the wildcard an hour before...
Not an hour, 5 minutes. Exactly 5 minutes before deadline.
5 minutes before the deadline. And actually, I just wanted to bring this up as a point of conversation because I had a few people telling me on Twitter today that, you never mentioned the Rafinha captaincy on the pod. And you are on Saturday captaining Rafinha. And I just want to say that we are podding on Tuesday. And then between Tuesday and Saturday, there are 5 days. You're percolating and gathering a lot of information and thoughts happen. And the Rafinha switch was something I was... maybe flirting with on Friday, but you know, I pulled the trigger in the last 5 minutes again because there were rumors floating around about Ronaldo not starting, and he was the only other viable captaincy option in my team. So I just pulled the trigger, went there, and this is going to be.
What are you doing? What sort of influencer are you? Not revealing your moves prior to deadline.
Yeah, we're setting a bad example here. Completely setting a bad example here.
Seems to be the trend this week as well.
yeah. Poor Andy. He got so much grief for it. I mean, he's not answerable to... Let's get that straight. Nobody's answerable to anybody in terms of what they do with their teams, and that's all there is to it. So I think let's give the listeners a preview of what Bakker's wildcard looks like. He did have a really good wildcard. He scored 60 points. And for the benefit of the listeners, I'm just going to read out his team. He had Ramsdale and Foster as his keepers. In defense, he had Cancelo, Aspie, who got in 10 points, Rudiger. On his bench, he has Trent and Livramento. So he's not sold Trent on his wildcard, which is a nice move, I thought. In midfield, he had Benny, Bumo, Benrahma, Mbeumo, Mo Salah, Rafinha, and Brownhill as his fifth midfielder. And up front, he has Jimenez, Lukaku captain, and Antonio. By the way, you and me got away with not captaining Lukaku or not owning him. His owners were so unlucky. I mean, a lot of people are talking about Werner hogging all the shots, but he had a clear chance to score a goal. And that Rudiger assist where he almost scored was also just offside. So I think we got away with it. Absolutely. Did.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very lucky. Especially when a benching happens in the first game and it's a 50-50 call, you're always fearing the worst. You always think you're going to be on the high end of variance. So I think you're very lucky as Ronaldo captainers, especially me. I think you're Rafinha captain, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Let's get the sponsor plugins.
Oops, sorry. So you might have disappeared from this window because I don't have you here. I'm just going to read the plug really quick. A quick word about our sponsors. Dreamset Go is a global portal for fans to gain access to sporting events around the world. Accommodation, flight tickets, hospitality, stadium visits. Everything can be tailored exactly to your requirements. They also do celebrity experiences, which include masterclasses with your favorite sports celebrity or something as simple as birthday shoutouts. You can find links to the products in the description below. They're also tying up with some top-notch Premier League clubs, which we will announce shortly.
Also, this is Late Riser 12 talking from The Matrix. The FPL Wire is a part of the Fantasy Scout Network, and all the stats used on this pod are taken from the FFS members area. Please sign up if you haven't already. Just click on the link in the description below to sign up. Right, let's get into the thick of things. How do you want to go about just talking about...
Let's start
about...
with goalkeepers, and we can always just freelance. If you want to go on a tangent, let's go on a tangent. Let's just talk out loud. As if you were talking on the phone for discussing what we've been doing all week.
Exactly. I mean, we have absolutely no structure here. We just thought that there's been a few macro points that Zoff and me have been discussing, and we thought we'd just get into it and see how the pod goes. You said you want to talk about goalkeepers?
Yeah, let's just at least get kicked off on goalkeepers. And I think Sanchez, let's start with that guy. Anything thinking about keeping Sanchez at all?
Right now I haven't. That's the decision actually on wildcard that I'm struggling with the most. Wherein I am playing around with three goalkeepers: Ramsdale, Sanchez, and Raya. Now the thinking in my head is Sanchez hasn't really done much for us to lose him. Brighton's stats constantly look good. The problem is he's still offering 2 points or 6 points, and the fixtures, right? Brighton's fixtures in the next three, they're facing Liverpool and City, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. But
that's something that doesn't sit right with me, and especially for a keeper who's not making many saves right now. It's what we predicted, where it would be a case of a 2 or a 6, and that's what seemingly it looks like. Who are you on keeper at the moment? Are you letting go Sanchez? What's the thinking?
I mean, those fixtures they're not really that off-putting because anyway, till game week 30, you're trying to more or less keep the same keeper. But the point about ceiling really, it looks like stands out to me. I think Ramsdale has a much higher ceiling in terms of saves and bonus points. And there's always a lure of when you can get a top six keeper at 4.5. I mean, Ramsdale should have been at 5, like Leno is, right? He's possibly 500,000 underpriced. So it sort of feels like there's an advantage there. And there's so many people with Sanchez. I think it is also an opportunity to make ground. A goalkeeper spot, if you can differentiate, why not?
Yeah, but I also, when I look at Arsenal's fixtures, the first two games, they kind of look like tricky to me. I don't know if they keep a clean sheet against Palace and Villa. I mean, Palace is a new team now. It's a team swerving with young attacking talent. They're playing some really good football on the front foot. I am also mindful of the fact that Patrick Vieira is going back to where he made his name as well. So he'll want to make a mark on that ground as well. But the big debate when it comes to Ramsdale versus Raya in my head is that Arteta comes across to me as a defense-first coach. I think more than the goals, he's prioritizing clean sheets at the moment. And there seems to be some decent chemistry happening between Tomiyasu, White, Gabriel, Ramsdale, etc., all of that. So that is what's happening. But Raya is making a ton of saves. Before he conceded to West Ham late in that game, he was on for a 10-pointer. And they sort of remind me a little bit of of Burnley, wherein they concede a lot of the percentage of the shots from outside the box.
Low XG chances.
Low XG chances. A lot of easy save points also for Raya. And, I mean, we saw it in the Liverpool game. Even when there are tough chances, Raya is making some sensational saves. And that's a continuation from where he started off last season, where his save percentage was right up there in the league. Are you set on Ramsdale? Are you at all worried about him not being nailed anymore?
I mean, Leno has made some comments in the press about Arteta that have not been great. And there have been a lot of rumors about him leaving in January. So I'm reasonably confident now, even if he makes two or three howlers, he's got the spot. So in terms of security, Raya is definitely safer. But Ramsdale, I feel it just because Brentford, I don't know. They set up pretty defensively so far. They've been playing good teams. What about the teams that they're going to play that are going to be in and around them? They're going to be more attacking? Will they be this conservative?
And you think they might leave some space out at the back? Right. There's another point in my head also when discussing Ramsdale versus Raya. And I feel like Ramsdale's form is also dependent on Thomas Partey's fitness. The moment Partey is injured, or if he gets injured, I panic about Ramsdale being my keeper. I don't think that's the case with Raya because Brentford are a very system-oriented defense. So that's another thing that's playing in my head. And the fixtures are actually not too bad for Raya as well. I mean, I'm just going to read out Brentford's fixtures. Chelsea at home, probably not going to get anything. Might get a few save points. Leicester at home, could possibly clean. Then you have the three really good fixtures for Brentford. You have Burnley away, Norwich home, Newcastle away. And after that, a string of so-so fixtures where they have Everton at home, Spurs away, Leeds away, Watford home, United home. So there are some potential clean sheets in here for Raya, I reckon.
Agree. I don't think there's much in it.
Yeah. I was talking to a couple of people and they were like, I think it was Baker who said that this is probably going to be a 10-point decision over a period of 15 game weeks. So there's not really much in it. I don't think you can go wrong with either of the three of them. Currently, I'm leaning towards Ramsdale. I think that's what my instinct is. I might switch to Raya. I don't know if I might go to... And the other thing which we'll come on to with Ramsdale is, I was earlier, while tinkering, I was earlier on Ramsdale and White. And that wasn't sitting too right with me. I'll discuss why I was on White. And now I'm starting to lean...
Almost like a rap song. White didn't sit right with me.
So now I'm leaning towards switching... White to Duffy, which makes Ramsdale easier to fathom.
That makes sense. And we'll talk about Duffy. When we get to the defenders, I think goalkeepers, anybody else you want to talk about? Guaita?
Guaita is the one that's probably somebody worth discussing. But I simply put, I don't know what Crystal Palace's philosophy is at the moment. Are they going to be an attacking team? Are they going to be a possession-focused team? I don't quite know what their philosophy is at the moment. With Arsenal, at least I know that Arteta has done this. You know, because I wrote an article for Arsenal on Arsenal last week, and what stuck out to me was even in the second half of last season, for expected goals conceded, Arsenal were the fifth best defense in the league. So this is not something that we're relying on a small sample size for. It's a fairly big sample size.
Yeah, so third fewest goals conceded also last season.
Exactly, exactly. So, and their attack, again, it doesn't look like it has too many goals in them at the moment. So they could be relying on clean sheets.
Yeah, I don't think they're the kind of team that will blow teams away too many times. It seems like more of a 2-0 sort of outfit, right? Let's jump into defense.
Yeah. Any other keepers? Maybe Sa is somebody we should consider. But again, I need the cash. I have built a few drafts and I don't want to spend more than 4.5.
There's nowhere where I can get anywhere close to 5. But I don't think Wolves... I haven't been that impressed with them also to think that they warrant... Like, if you want to go premium, might as well just go Emi Martinez.
Correct, correct. I agree with you. I agree with you. I still think Raya is a very decent option, though.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
A goalkeeper.
How would I might you rank them? Let's do this section by section. Let's give a ranking. It's obviously individual opinion, but why not?
Yeah, and ranking as of today, because we are absorbing information every day. I don't want to get criticized for ranking Ramsdale 1 and him not showing up on my wildcard, because it's a tough decision at the moment. Very honestly,
disclaimers are out there.
I have to give out those disclaimers at the moment. Before we just get onto the ranking, we've got about 400 people watching us. Guys, make sure you're hitting like and subscribe. And if you're watching, just spread the word on Twitter as well, so we have more people watching us right now and you can get into the wildcard discussion. All right. You go first with the ranking.
Ramsdale, Rhea, Sanchez.
Same as you right now. Consensus. Also, because I'm leaning towards, if I'm going Brighton defense, I'm leaning towards Duffy, or let's say our ex-lively friend shows up fit in a few weeks. He's an option. I feel like Brighton do have better defender options who might offer a lot in attack. Even Cucurella, how do you pronounce his name? 5 million, but he looks like their left winger. I think he's got a ton of assists and goals in him. So I think also that is a factor. I'm sort of confirmation biasing myself to go for Ramsdale, but that, I think that's a factor, because I think Brighton have some good-looking defenders that we might want to indulge in later.
But does that really come into play, basket wasting and all that?
It plays a point of view from a psychological point of view. That's from it. Basket
like
wasting
said,
point
confirmation,
of view.
From confirmation bias, just because like, oh, this makes my decision easier.
Exactly.
Sort of so that's I don't it. Think it necessarily it. Like tilts you either way.
But I wouldn't go anyone else except these three on wildcard. It would be a decision between these three for me.
Right. In defense, I think we'll talk about City second. I think let's talk about Chelsea defenders first.
Sure.
So I think we've both gone for Chilwell right now currently. So what's your thinking there behind Chilwell before I say anything?
Actually, there was a very interesting tweet from... Andrew Gower, you'll find him on Twitter @GowerAMG. So use GowerAMG. He's tends to tweet some amazing stats which are very relevant. And this is the information that he gave out about Ben Chilwell and his stats under Tuchel. In the Premier League, he's had 13 benchings, but he's never come on as a defender. In the UCL, he's had 4 benchings, but he's come on 3 times. In in other competitions, he's come on only once. So what I like about Chilwell is that he's seemingly a 0 or a 10, 15, 2-pointer option, where you're not going to get a 1-point sub. That is something that I'm trying to convince myself with. And I think it's Chilwell's presence in my team is going to rely on the nailed on-ness of my other picks. Because I think I need to balance my defense and I don't want to go about having fun with all the picks in my defense. I mean, we saw that game in Southampton. He had, 3 shots and 2 or 3 chances created. He
could
have easily
added 3 shots on target.
Could have easily added a 15-20 pointer, and that's what...
Yeah, the third highest XG of any player.
So that's what Ben Chilwell brings to you. And with Chelsea, also Rudiger is now 5.8. And I don't know if I can fathom paying 5.8 million for somebody who has set piece threat. And once in 3 games, he makes a mad dash through the pitch, trying to assist.
He does it every game now. Almost.
He does it every game now. But yeah, I mean, people are not going to give him that chance every game. So I think with Chelsea, either you go the wing backs or you don't. I think Aspie, James, and Chilwell are the ones I'd consider, but that's because of the way I like to play the game. And like if I'm spending 5.8-6 million, I'd much rather switch to City defense and go Ruben Dias instead of Rudiger. Because Ruben Dias gives you those passing points which leads to pass completion.
Rudiger's baseline bonus is the lowest stuff than the Chelsea squad. Like your Christensen, Thiago Silva, Aspi, even Mendy, they're all higher.
Yeah.
So it's a 6, or maybe if he gets a 15 for the goal, or you're 2 and 1, that's it. There's no chance of like your 8s and 9s and stuff.
Exactly. Which is why if I'm spending 6 million odd on a defender, I'm going to go Dias. You're the Chelsea expert though. So where are you with them?
It's interesting because now I think Chalobah is also another curveball thrown into the mix. He's been playing very well when called upon. You're going to see him get some minutes. And there's going to be competition. It's not like Alonso is going to start all the games. It's not that Chilwell is now going to start all the games. There's definitely going to be rotation in the wing-back slots. But the upside is so high. That's the lure with those guys, right? Ultimately, they can get you a 15, 20-pointer. And we can afford it with the likes of Livramento and Duffy coming in. Can afford, like, and even Cancelo looks pretty nailed. You can get Cancelo and Chilwell. I don't think Cancelo will be missing too many. And even then, you can cover with Duffy, Livramento somewhat.
Also, I think one important factor, which in my head is the biggest factor, is that article you wrote where you spoke about Chilwell and Reece James crossing. Now, you guys never had, so when Chilwell was benched a considerable amount of times last season, they might have needed a proper goal threat. And there wasn't a need to cross so insistently because Chelsea never had a target man last season. They have a target man this season who they spent a lot of money to get into the team, and they need crosses to feed that player. And I think three people are very important to feed points to Lukaku, and that's Mason Mount, that's Reece James, and that's Ben Chilwell. So I think this is something that Tuchel is also going to think about because he needs to feed Lukaku and he needs crosses in his team.
And Kovacic, that's one more I would add. In midfield, Kovacic has been playing a lot more advanced this season in terms of attacking Correct. Output.
Any murmurs at all about James's fitness? If we know that he's even 1 week away, you think you're going to switch from Chilwell to James?
I'd rather get Chilwell in, and once James gets a start, then do the move after. Because James, I think, is a bit more secure. The right wing back spot, there's a bit less competition than there is for the left wing back. So, because I still don't think Aspi is a natural wing back.
Okay, fair enough. But, okay, go ahead and rank them, your Chelsea defenders.
I'd still say Rudiger, if you're looking for pure nailed onness, Rudiger offers that. But I think probably Aspi, Rudiger, Chilwell.
Okay, I'm going to go Chilwell, Aspi, Rudiger as my top three.
If you ask me an hour later, I might change my answer. Also, that's just one of those things.
Yeah, and it eventually comes down to squad balance. We've spoken about that a lot as well. You need to have nailed 4 other defenders to go for the Chelsea wing back. If Reece James is close to being fit, I might switch to him because I think he's the most nailed on. Based on nothing but instinct and his sheer crossing ability on that right hand side.
Well, James is fit. I don't mind using a free transfer and buying James.
Yeah, correct.
Let's talk about
Alonso's performance in Spain scares me though. Apparently
he's playing well. What you want as a Chilwell owner is Alonso to have a stinker and then sort of play out of form. But the fact that he's playing well for Spain means that he's playing at a general high level.
Exactly. That's scaring me. That is scaring me. I won't lie. Again, I'm confirmation biasing myself by sticking to the point that he's not had sub appearances from the bench. So if something should happen, I have Livramento and either one of Duffy or White coming on. And both of them have good run of fixtures for a while. So that's where I am at.
Let's talk
macro. I can't resist this upside, Ian, when it comes to your Chelsea wing backs. I think that's correct. Just the play.
Totally, I get it. And what I wanted to say, let's talk macro because a lot of people have been talking about going for a back four. Let's assume that Trent is out of the picture, double City, double Chelsea, back four. Are you tempted by that at all?
Not when Livramento is offering tremendous value at 4.2 and White is offering tremendous value at 4.4 and Duffy is offering tremendous value at 4.3. I think
At 4.2. Huh? Mankio. Sorry? Of the new Mankio. Mighty Newcastle. They're the new PSG.
Yeah, the new PSE, but still, nothing's going to happen until Jan anyway.
I know. But let's talk about that. I think there will be something, because I was just reading an article today. They were struggling to sell tickets. There were people boycotting the games at St. James Park. They're completely sold out now. So there is definitely going to be, I think, a feel-good factor around the club. The players who are there, they're definitely going to try to show to the new owners, show to the new management that they're worthy of playing. So I think there could be a bit of a bounce over at Newcastle.
Fair enough, but I mean, Sean Longstaff showing 15% more ability isn't really going to change much when it comes to the output of that team, is where I am.
Again, I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent. This was part of thinking in my, while we're looking at Sun. Now, normally at Newcastle, what's going to happen is now they're naturally going to commit more men forward. Now, Steve Bruce can't be as defensive, I think, now if he wants to audition for the job. He has to at least show some sort of attacking side to the game, right? To convince these guys that at least keep faith in me till Jan. So we can exploit that. I'm not saying buy Newcastle players. I'm saying buy players who are going to play Newcastle.
Fair enough. I mean, we don't know how Steve Bruce's team is going to play anyway at the moment. We don't even know if he's going to be the manager once Spurs play Newcastle. They could just hand over to the... the other guy who's there, I think Graham Jones,
or even hire somebody else, Zizou, maybe.
I was reading a few articles, and in their head, Graham Jones is the perfect caretaker manager to see this phase through until they take their time to appoint the right guy.
Correct. But even with Graham Jones, I think they will be attacking, because there is such a weight has been lifted off that club. We can't really put it in words. And we are not Newcastle fans. We don't understand how much the club means to the town, to its fans. So I definitely think there's going to be some sort of change over there.
There is a definite, because you see St. Max tweeting, you see Callum Wilson tweeting in a very positive sort of way. So there is some sort of excitement that's happening at that club for sure. And if they're playing more attacking football, good for players playing against them as well. I think this is all speculation at the end of the day. We don't know how Newcastle are going to do. And I think you watch them for the next couple of weeks and see what they do.
But all we are doing here is speculating now for the next 8 weeks.
Agreed. Right. So I actually want to shift my Chelsea defender order. It's going to be Chilwell, James and Aspi. I'm just going to go with the wing.
That makes sense totally. But James right now can't really be included, right?
That's it depends on fitness. Too. We'll know about this only on the Friday before game week 8. So we have
information. It's worth mentioning that Spurs game with James missed, Tuchel came out and said after the game that was because of the robbery he suffered. It wasn't because of like game time or anything.
So, exactly. Yeah. So we were speculating then about this as well, and it turned out to be fine.
City defenders, should we touch upon Cancelo, nailed on?
Not nailed on, but nailed on in my draft, it looks like.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. There's a slight worry amongst people because he got done twice by Salah. And those sensational goals that he scored. But I don't think anybody else is offering what Cancelo is in that team from a creative point of view. I think Cancelo is wholly unique in terms of what he offers as a fullback, and because of which City are able to dominate games the way they do because he's just technically so good. I don't think either Zinchenko or Walker offer what Cancelo does, sort of as a midfielder in terms of chance creation, those threaded through balls that he's always creating, etc. So, and he started 7 games back-to-back so far. I mean, what more do you want? You take the plunge. If it doesn't work, you sell. There are enough defenders, but I think you just take the plunge with Cancelo. Right.
I just want to discuss one more thing now. In terms of budget defenders, I think Livramento is pretty nailed on. Now, this is if you're going for a 3-4-3 system. The fifth defender spot is where I think we are a little bit iffy, right? It's Duffy, White. And is Mankiw an option if you need that 0.3, 0.4?
Not for me. When you can spend 0.3 more and get Duffy, who's currently having the highest chances amongst any defender in the game, looks like he's going to score a goal every second game and plays for an elite defense. I think if you're spending 0.3 more and you're getting access to a Duffy, or you're spending 0.4 more and getting access to a White who's going to be nailed on in a premium top 6, top 8 defense, I don't know if Mankiw is an option. But if you're really cutting corners, and let's talk macro here, because I know that this is playing on your mind because you're really cutting corners for cash. How often are you going to be using that fifth defender spot? And that depends if you don't have the likes of Foden and you have the likes of Antonio instead. If you have the likes of Ivan Toney and Mbeumo who are nailed on 90-minute men, I think you can get away with getting
Mankey. What I'm trying to bundle in my bed, I've right now got Chilwell in because I have 0.0. Now, let's say if I want Rudiger, I can go in with Chilwell with Duffy or I can go with like a Rudiger or a Mankey. So, but that sort of balances it out because Rudiger's a bit more nailed anyway, right? You won't need Duffy as much if you have Chilwell. So it's a balancing act in that sense.
Exactly. And also, you know, I think it's a case of FOMO that we are just looking at these 5.5-6 million defenders because everybody is going in on City and Chelsea defenders. Cucurella at 5 million, Matty Cash at 5 million. Tierney at 4.9 million. If you're diving into that price bracket, these are perfectly good picks. It's just that there is a sense of FOMO that maybe you and me have developed or a first plan notion where we are like, no, you know, City have these fixtures. It looks so nice that they're playing Burnley.
Is it though? But I think it's based on data, right? It's based on data. It's based on performances. We're not doubling up on either and going like, you know, we want to play 4 at the back, 5 at the back.
I understand that. And that's how we are starting to build our team. But let's say there is somebody you prioritize. Let's say you want to go for a Son in your midfield. And you want to... Defense is one of the places to cut corners and find some cash. I don't think the three names that I took are bad picks. Absolutely. I don't think they're bad picks. So
Let's talk Trent for a second because this is something I was having a talk with Bakar. He said, he asked me, if Trent is out, what would you do? I said, I'd probably use that money to upgrade Son to KDB. So if you want to go that route, you want to go like, you know, a Diaz instead of Trent, and that gives you that money to upgrade Son to KDB. It's not a bad move at all for those 3-4 weeks.
Not a bad move. I agree. I'm with you on that. I think there are a bunch of City midfielders who could be decent options.
Let's segue into that. You've been talking about Foden. I'll just bring up...
Selection just as names that we would maybe consider outside of that. Diaz and Cancelo are the guys from City defense. A lot of people have been talking about Walker, but I wouldn't go there because despite him charging down that wing for City, he doesn't know how to cross the ball. Let's face that. So I don't think he's going to get any attacking threat. And what I think also is that Zinchenko was maybe unfit or Pep wasn't playing. Why wasn't Zinchenko
unfit.
Playing?
Unfit, not was unfit.
So Zinchenko is going to come into play right now. And why I like Cancelo is because he can play left back as well as right back. And this could easily happen. And I was visiting the City forums as well throughout this week. And a lot of them have Cancelo playing right back and Zinchenko playing left back in that next game as well. So that could easily happen because he plays one position. Cancelo at least has a little more safeguardness because of his versatility. Definitely. And him covering two positions. Yeah,
and Pep has even gone on record last year and said, he said Cancelo is one of the first best recovery guys in terms of recovering between matches. He needs only a couple of days.
Exactly. Also, the fixtures are pretty easy on paper, right? So he's not going to need somebody who's going to be able to defend well. He's going to need somebody who's a creative impetus in the team, which is why Cancelo works.
And when he needs somebody to defend well, he's not going to play Zinchenko, of course. It sort of balances it out.
Yeah. Just talking about a few names who are top of the season ticker until game week 15. Leeds United, nobody we're going to consider. Southampton, Livramento, we've spoken about. Chelsea, we've spoken about. Spurs.
No.
Not really convinced to go anywhere.
They're not that easy for defense if you look at it, right? Newcastle away, West Ham away, United at home, Everton away, then Leeds. It's not great defensive-wise.
Anybody else?
Wolves.
Who else? Yeah, Semedo is still a decent pick, I reckon. I don't know if I would go anywhere else.
No,
in that
I don't think I would spend on the Wolves. I think Arsenal, I think Villa is a team I would look at. Probably the wing backs.
Yeah, Villa wing backs I'd look at, and I'd look at Brentford. I think Pinnock or Rico, you know, you're spending 4.5, 4.6 to get, if you're not getting Raya. I think both Pinnock is offering you the set piece thing and Rico is playing pretty much as a wing back. So he's offering you some assist potential. So I don't mind if you're looking in the market, if you're owning, let's say, Ramsdale and you don't want to double up with an Arsenal defender and you're not confident that Shane Duffy is nailed on, then I think a Brentford defender is where I'd go for a 4.5 million defender. Great. Let's talk a little bit about Duffy before we move on. Do you think he's nailed? Interesting thing is... Athletic did an article on Duffy literally 4 days ago. And right at the end of that article, it was mentioned that Webster is still going to take some time after the international break to come into that team. And we know with Lamptey how much time he takes to get fit. So I think this is a decision that's going to be made by me, at least, on Friday, when I hear Potter's press conference and understand how long Webster and Lamptey are exactly going to be out. But you have to think he's done enough to cement his place in the team.
Yep. And I think somebody mentioned it. I think Baker mentioned it on his pod. The last 10 minutes, Duffy was playing up top against Palace. Yeah. So it's like Samba or Fold. When they're chasing a goal, they just throw him up front.
Exactly. And he's had good games defensively also. Like, he's such a transition. Yeah.
But I think there's been some shuffling going around the back three earlier. I think Dunk was playing right center back. Now Dunk has come to the center. I don't know the details, but there's something happening there.
So on paper, when everybody is fit, their best defense is supposed to be Webster, Dunk, and Veltman as the three. Lamptey on one side and Cucurella on the other side. But now, Dunk has done enough to keep his place. And I don't know how Potter is going to justify...
Duffy has done enough to keep his
place. Duffy has done enough to keep his place. I don't know how Potter is going to justify keeping him out of the team. And I think that's going to, again, be performance dependent. Correct. Once Duffy throws in a poor performance, I think that's when he'll probably give things. So there is a bit of risk associated with Duffy.
White,
but there's
is
massive
definitely safer. White is definitely safer, but Duffy is going to get you that goal. White isn't getting you nothing in terms of returns attacking-wise.
Exactly. Agreed. Agreed. Cool. I think those are the names we were discussing on Wildcard. Outside shot, maybe Mitchell, 4.5 million. Like I said, with Palace, I don't know who they are at the moment. Are they a defensive team?
I trust Brentford more.
Yeah, I trust Brentford more too. That's it. Move on.
Mids. Foden. Let's talk about Foden. I've been waiting to hear. Convince us about Foden. What's luring you to him?
So I've gotten into a habit while watching games. I have a certain notepad on my phone wherein I take certain notes where I'm essentially talking to myself. And there is a certain note there said that, he's not nailed, but you saw him and you will not, you'll hate not owning him. Go there even if he's not nailed and sacrifice Antonio if you need to. What will be, will be. That's literally what I wrote on that piece of paper. And it was watching that City game, and he was fabulous on that left-hand side. And let's be clear, Jack Grealish is no more in the picture anymore. Because the last two or three games that I've seen when it comes to City and Jack Grealish, Grealish hasn't shown much when it comes to an impetus, when it comes to goal-scoring behavior, anything of that sort. And Foden just looks on another level. He looks like City's best player at the moment. And a few things that I like about him, his versatility. Can play left winger, right winger, can play center forward, false nine, and can play that left center midfield slot as well. So he can play four positions. I think Pep is aware that he's one of their best players, and he might find a way to put him into his team. And I'm hoping, if you're asking me what I'd be happy with, I'd be happy with 3 out of 4 starts when it comes to Phil Foden. So that's where I am. And he's shown a lot of potential in these few games. Now, I want to give a shout out to Chris Glover. I think he's the guy who also created the algorithm for the FFS Hall of Fame. Now, he wrote a fabulous thread on why he's considering Foden. You should go check it out. And he looked at a period of play where Phil Foden was nailed. And he started most of the games. And this was between game week 17 and game week 24 last season. And you look at his ranking amongst the midfielders when he's starting. For XGI, he was 7th in that period behind Gundogan, Bruno, Sterling, Mane, Mo and Son. These are some big names. For shots in the box, he was 2nd behind only Gundo. For chances created, he was 3rd. And for penalty area touches, he was 2nd. So we all know that if City midfielders are nailed, they are the ones to go for and they're never going to be nailed. So this is just a short that I'm taking because he looks like a really good player and thinking about putting him in my team. And like you said, he's got that Burnley fixture in game week 8 and you're putting yourself in a position to get lucky with Foden. And that's what I like doing. That's all.
The thing is, now the entire bracket is a bit barren. We were talking about Mount earlier, but I think Mount hasn't been on it. Although I think he still could be a decent pick today.
Just give me a second.
Sure. We can hear him. So, yeah, my personal problem is I really can't trust any midfielder besides Kevin De Bruyne from Man City.
You can't, yeah, that's been the case with you, right? And it's a philosophy thing. You can't trust it, and that's fine. And it's something I like doing. And seems to me like an explosive differential. And the out that I have in my head is also that I like Mount at 7.5. And let's say Foden doesn't work out. And if I don't see enough in the first two games,
You can even go for Mount for Norwich. Just give him Burnley. Have a look at Norwich then. Because Brighton is a little bit tougher right after.
That's the out I have in my head. For Phil Foden. So that's where I am. I was just visiting the City forums as well, and 85-90% of them have Torres starting this game.
Which it's is interesting, right? I think everyone has sold Torres, and now is when he probably starts.
This could be the game that he could probably start. Can't even rule out a 1 week punt for those who can afford it for Rafinha, because it looks like Rafinha might not play game week 8.
Yeah, he was very impressive when he came on for Brazil. So the prospects of getting game time now in the next two matches are pretty high.
Correct. Let's talk Rafinha. What is the time difference? What is the logistical thing? What are your thoughts?
I think they play about 36 hours before the place. Now, earlier, if you had told me that he's not going to play the third game, I would have said maybe when he comes back, maybe it's just jet lag. There's a small chance. But if he's going to get solid minutes over the next three matches for Brazil, it seems unlikely because he's already carrying that thigh problem or something, right? You can't just keep piling on the minutes.
I think that's done. I think the problem is done. I think Bielsa hasn't mentioned it for a while now.
But I think he's most likely missing it. And we were talking earlier that whether he would be missing game week 12 as well. But we were told that there's only two matches, right, for the next international break for Brazil.
Yeah, and he plays on Tuesday and the Premier League game is on the weekend. So he has enough time. So it doesn't look like he's going to miss game week 12. So it's just game week 8 that you need to sit out when it comes to Rafinha.
Yeah.
And that's also the thinking where Duffy is playing Norwich. White is playing Crystal Palace at home, and Livramento is playing Leeds United at home. So you have
without Rafinha. Like Bakker made the point of the last pod, like if Leeds are without Rafinha, then automatically Livramento becomes a better option.
Exactly. And it looks like Bamford is not going to be playing either in it. So that sounds convincing if you have enough backup. I can't
his fixtures are great. Yeah, the fixtures are just phenomenal after. Right? You have Wolves, Norwich, Leicester, Spurs, Brighton, Palace, Brentford. The glue guy.
Correct. Right. Both of us are pretty nailed on let's discuss the 5.5 million price bracket in midfield. Both of us are on Bumo at the moment. You've been flirting a little bit with Townsend.
Everton mids. Raptor did a great video where he does a comparison of all the mids around this bracket. If you guys want a more comprehensive review, I'd suggest you check that out. So they're all pretty good options over there. The Everton bracket, I don't know whether Townsend's goals are going to be sustainable as much. They've just been like, you know, long range belters and against easy teams. No reaction.
My big. I just realized. Sorry, I was switching windows and I didn't realize what you just said. But yeah, you've been on about United for a long, long time now. And I'm now losing my patience with Mr. Solskjaer as well. So I'm not going to react very heavily. There's also. The thinking in my head that with every poor result, we make a step towards getting the next manager as well. So I'm not going to feel too bad about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Everton, the appeal was taking the punt short term and then switching to somebody like Bumo a little bit later. So they have West Ham and Watford both at home in the next two. So you could sort of like, you know, avoid the Chelsea and Leicester fixture for Bumo.
Yeah. Just think the Chelsea and Leicester fixture for Bumo are at home. And with Brentford at home, they've given Liverpool a proper run for their money. They gave Arsenal a proper run for their money. So I just think at home, they're a different team and I don't mind them because he's probably playing striker. We've spoken about this also where in the tougher games, Ivan Toney is playing the slightly more hold-up role and Bumo's running into the spaces beyond. And if Chelsea's attacking, I think Bumo's going to be the player running behind that defense. So it's a fine... I don't have issues playing Bumo in those games against Chelsea. Leicester is a good fixture for Bumo. Mm. The way they are performing at the moment. Crystal Palace absolutely dominated Leicester City and blew them off the park. I thought Leicester were very, very lucky to get a draw out of that game. So I'm not worried about that Leicester home game at all. I like that Leicester home game for Bournemouth. Right. And with the Everton myths, the main macro factor in my head is that I think Richarlison and DCL are going to be fit now. I think the points were going to these players because these two weren't fit. Now, once these two players are fit, they're going to be hogging the points. I don't think the points are going to come to the other mids. That's why I think the time for the Everton mids is done. Now.
That's a good point. Like Townsend's XG and everything is largely for his penalty. Otherwise, most of his shots are from outside.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Let's talk Arsenal mids.
Yeah. That game against Brighton did most of the attacking in that game, right? But I still think ESR and Saka are good picks for what they offer.
ESR, I want to talk about a little bit more. Now, you have Lacazette and Pepe who are being kept out of the team. If they have to get back to the team, isn't that going to be at ESR's expense? Because I look at the rest of the midfield. You have your Lokonga and Odegaard there. Xhaka is out now. You have Partey. Partey is also there.
So there are two possibilities. Yeah, ESR isn't nailed. There is that doubt now because Odegaard, if they play two defensive midfielders, that is Partey and Lokonga in the pivot, then Odegaard can play the 10 role as well, which is what ESR can also do. ESR can play one side of the wing. Saka, I think, is more nailed because he's just the more talented player and I think he offers that width. Pepe could come in for ESR quite easily. So there's a certain threat to rotation when it comes to ESR, but I think he's been a very good player. I think he's fairly nailed. I don't think he's nailed on. The only nailed on players are the likes of Son, Mo Salah, Bruno Fernandes. Whenever I talk about a player who's a slight gamble and I get a bunch of replies on Twitter saying, is he nailed? No, these guys aren't nailed. The sheer fact that you're asking the question, is he nailed, answers to the question that he's not nailed. It's about what your risk appetite is.
Most likely to start, I think, Saka and Aubameyang in that attack. Odegaard to that extent, but Odegaard's not really an FPL option. So if you're going an Arsenal mid, I think it's Saka, not ESR. I wouldn't be bothered with ESR. I'm put off ESR a bit.
Yeah, and plus, I think Bumo's the clearer, better option. And I don't know if you want to roll around with 2.5 million midfielders at the moment as well. Who else do we talk about? Son, the big one.
Let's talk about Son. Why did you go
before
first?
That, you want to touch about Mo Salah? Are you thinking about losing the best player in the world in the best form of his life at the moment?
I honestly don't know how Mo Salah does not have 80 to 100. Like, I assume the teams that don't have Mo Salah are either like people who don't play, like where you can't own Liverpool players or certain things like that, or I really don't understand. He should be 14 million. I saw his price at 12.5 million at the start of the season. I was like, this is underpriced.
I think it's going to be a tighter decision than most people think in game week 9 when Lukaku plays Norwich at home and when Liverpool are playing United. And Mo Salah is again going to show us scoring 2 or 3 goals against Watford. People are going to struggle to not captain Mo Salah.
Against United away.
Yeah. In my opinion, right now, Salah is just in a separate stratosphere in terms of the form that he's in.
He's genuinely best in Europe right now.
Yeah, he's genuinely best in Europe. I don't think anybody can touch him at the moment. Every game, and like we speak about Liverpool also, from an attacking standpoint, they're in a separate stratosphere at the moment. They're creating chances every 10 minutes and our defense has been rubbish. Let's face that. I think he's a genuine captaincy option against us as well.
Maguire out is a big miss. Big miss for you guys. In terms of leadership, more so than anything, I think.
And Maguire, even while Maguire is playing, he's not been in the best of form. And Salah has a habit of scoring against us as well. But I know for a fact that you and me are going to look at the upside and look at the fixture. Norwich at home is going to be... I think all of us are going to go for Lukaku. I think that's not even something we're going to entertain. So, yeah. Do not even consider going without Mo Salah, even if you are at all. Even if the fixtures read Man City at home, Chelsea at home, don't remove Mo Salah ever at the moment. Son, where are you with Son?
So the thing is, I want at least one heavy hitter who people can't really afford on the wildcard. And it's like with Sun, it's very easy to get him in on the wildcard. It's very easy to downgrade him. Today, right now, I'm seeing a third forward. I'm not as convinced by Jimenez, even though he's posting great chance creation numbers. I'm still not as convinced I want to go there. Sun, I think the next two fixtures are really good. Newcastle, West Ham, the United fixture even better. Then you have Everton, Leeds, Burnley, Brentford, Norwich.
Yeah.
So, but like, you make a plan, right? We were having a discussion with Bakar and he's like, oh, Sun is like, you know, somebody bring in game week 12. How are you going to scrounge around the money? You're going to have to make 3-4 transfers planning around it to sort of, unless you deposit the money in one place, but it's sort of exactly. easy to pull out.
And with Son, he's, I think his flaw is that he's going to give you average returns.
Because he's 90 PPG. Minutes. He's 7 PPG yeah. even now, and Spurs are playing poor.
Yeah. Even when Spurs are poor, Son is Son. He'll get one or two shots, and that might be good enough because of the sheer level of finishing that he has. And if Spurs are good, it's even better. So I don't mind, like you said, it's a very macro thing where I don't mind parking my funds there. I don't want to go 4 big defenders because I think the defenders that we spoke about in the 4 to 4.5 million bracket offer enough value. And I don't foresee a point where we'll not need funds in attack. I think we will need funds in attack. Right now I'm building my wildcard team and I think I need funds in attack at the moment. So I
and
just
in terms
like
of squad
that,
building, at 4.4, you're going to get a Brownhill in midfield. You're going to get the legend Keenan Davis up top, but you're not going to get actual guys with point potential like White, Duffy, Livramento, which you can only get in defense.
Correct.
So that's a trade-off. Exactly. If you want to build a deep squad, you have to have good defenders, or you have to then go for, like, you know, like I think Bucker's got for structure where he's Mbumo is his first sub most weeks.
Correct.
That's a different structure you can go for.
Yep. And like you said, you know, I think we are going behind the game when we will be chasing Jungmin Son in that period. Where's Spurs and the fixture? In that period,
fourth,
game week 12
fourth.
Onwards, where they have Leeds at home, Burnley away, Brentford at home, Norwich at home. I think most people will want to jump onto Jungmin Son at that time. And from a macro point of view, you and me can spend our transfers maybe looking at getting Harry Kane in if he's shown something, or, you know, making other luxury moves instead of cramping around our teams and getting...
And let's talk trade-off. What is the trade-off today? Like, you know, we'll discuss show our teams later. Or let's look. I know, let's do it right now. So this is my team, for example, right? So I've got Armstrong up top. And so the only position where I would say is I'm not happy with is probably be that Armstrong spot, where I'd probably might want a Calvert-Lewin or a Bamford or something like that. And look at Armstrong's fixtures. He could easily match that output that those guys are going to provide.
And let's say later you want to get Calvert-Lewin or Bamford and Son's blank 3 out of 3 games. It's easy to go from Son to any decent midfielder and upgrade that position.
Correct.
I like him as a cash cow also from a macro point of view.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the 4-2-3-1 that Baker mentioned also, which Spurs have switched to.
Correct. Yeah. So just Son was actually also really good against Aston Villa. He got a lot of space between Cash and the central defender on that side as well. And he did his thing. He did what Son did. He had 5 or 6 shots. He created 3 or 4 chances. And he could have easily had more than the 9-10 point haul that he did. And when it comes to Spurs' shape, the biggest... I've heard Plant FPL James talk about it. And I've heard Baker talk about it. Both Spurs fans who I trust. The biggest factor in favor of Son at the moment is that Nuno has binned Dele Alli, which focuses the attack towards Jungmin Son and Harry Kane as options, which is just a good thing for Son and Kane, both. Kane also got 5 or 6 shots in that
Kane
game.
Kane started looking better. He started, like, I think eventually Kane will hit the goal scoring track. He's too good not to score all season, obviously. And that's when Son will also get better. And it comes to the Newcastle thing also. I'm hoping that Newcastle game, Son can capitalize on the counter attack as well.
Yep. Agreed. Hoping there's space there. And but generally, they normally sit deep. And if my memory serves me right, Harry Kane loves playing against Newcastle. Do you think if somebody can build a team, there is a scope to punt on Kane against Newcastle and then move to Lukaku?
Potentially, but like I haven't seen enough form there from Kane to warrant that.
Yeah, and the only reason you'd want to do it is if you're not captaining Mo Salah, and nobody should not captain.
That's the point I was going to make. We don't need to this week, because why go against Salah? You'd expect Salah to outscore Kane, so it doesn't appeal. And Brentford, we were talking about, against the big teams, they come out and attack. So I think for big teams, and this is something Luke pointed out also, all the way in our preseason pod, the big teams are going to have fun scoring against Brentford. They'll probably score back.
Mo Salah captain versus Brentford when everyone went Lukaku, based on this theory. Exactly this theory. So, yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Let's talk about KDB, because a lot of people are going there to get a nailed-on City midfielder. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. If I could get the cash, I'd definitely get KDB over Son, full disclosure.
Yep. But I don't think... If you're doing it, I wouldn't compromise on Lukaku and I wouldn't compromise on Mo Salah at the moment.
I'd compromise on Trent. I think the only enabler I can see is Trent. If Trent is going to be out for, let's say, a few weeks more, then Trent to maybe another premium 5.5 defender, Son to KDB.
Yep. People are talking about 5% differential for Kane. Just make sure you don't get tempted and captain him. The form Mo Salah is in right now. And I want to actually cite, there was a period, I think 3 or 4 seasons ago, where I was destroyed by Mo Salah. There was a phase where Mane was constantly outperforming Mo Salah. And I made the sideways switch from Salah to Mane. And I think he played Watford and Bournemouth back to back. And I think he had ticked in one and braced in the other. I was 50 points behind most of the crowd.
With that 29-watt point game with Salah again, had against Watford, right?
Yeah. He likes playing against them also. So I just don't do anything with Salah. Stick the armband on him and keep it simple there.
Let's touch upon Watford. Ranieri coming in also, I think he's going to... First thing Ranieri does, most Italian managers do, they try to organize the defense.
Correct. Let them organize the defense. We have the most organized defense in the league by a distance. And Mo Salah showed them up. Correct. Legit two moments, he showed them up. So
My point is, I was more dialing back to Sar. Today, if I had Sar, would you take it as a positive with Ranieri coming in short term? I don't think so, because I think Ranieri likes his two strikers up top. He is more of a 4-4-2 man.
Yeah, but he's done well. If I remember Leicester City, he had Ulloa, was sort of like a shadow hold-up kind of a physical striker. And most of the attacking impetus was on Vardy and his winger, Mahrez at that time. So I think Sar could do well under Ranieri. He knows how to get performances out of his wingers. But the good thing about Watford at the moment is they're playing Liverpool, Everton, Southampton, Arsenal, United, Leicester, Chelsea, Man City. I'm happy to wait and watch.
Look at that run. That's a horror run, I think.
I'm just happy to sit back, wait and watch. I have other players I'm interested in at the moment. The one I'm monitoring very closely is Olise from Crystal Palace. What I liked was in that little cameo that he had for 30 minutes, he took a bunch of the set pieces as well, which is actually a problem for Gallagher as well. If he's playing instead of Ayew on that right wing spot, but he just looked really, really bright. One to monitor in that 5.5 million bracket.
Let's talk Gallagher. I think everybody's gone a bit cold on them. My thoughts are, with loss of set pieces, his appeal dips a lot, right?
Yeah, his appeal dips a lot. I just can't look beyond Bumo. He's just the clear best option at that price. I can't look at anybody else. I'd probably look at the Everton mids or ESR before I looked at Gallagher again, because of slight rotation worry that there is. Because Schloop also did well in that little cameo that he had. And
they have a good squad.
I can't call Palace at the moment. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm happy to monitor them and see what happens with that.
The fixtures also is Arsenal away. Newcastle at home is probably the good one. Man City away. Wolves is not easy. Burnley, Villa. So yeah, maybe a few more weeks, wait and watch.
I want to actually dial back to KDB. About him and targeting the fixtures. But I know he had a really good performance against Belgium last night. But I can't remember the last time he had a convincingly good performance for City. I genuinely think he hasn't looked really good since a long time. Yeah, it's KDP and he was injured and he's been dealing with an injury for the past year. But I just want to point out that I haven't seen KDP look on the money really good for a while. That's all. But it's KDP. He'll get points.
I think that's just match sharp. Once KDP is on the pitch. My problem always historically with KDP has not been that explosive, right? You could have a game where City scoring 5, KDP getting the assist. And that could happen with any City player.
That
is just something you have to live with.
Right. Anybody else who's on our midfield? I'm with Son, Raf, Bumo, Rafinha, we discussed.
Yeah,
and Salah.
Let's just put up your draft over here. You can just talk to your midfield. Who are you looking at? Who are you sold on, and who are you just slightly 50-50 about now? Yeah.
I like all those picks. I really like all those picks. I've had 7 days to simmer. My midfield at the moment is, I'm sitting on a 3-4-2 at the 3-5-2 at the moment with Foden, Bumo, Rafinha, Salah, and Son in my midfield, and I like all those picks. I can't. The only thing is Foden isn't nailed, and I know the risk that I'm taking going for a Phil Foden, chasing that upside, but it's a macro thing for me where I'm putting myself in a position to get lucky. That's all. I'm slightly tempted by a Ferran Torres 1 week punt. I'll see what happens later. But I think Foden could easily play false nine. Grealish could easily play false
nine. I'm not going to get any clues with the Ferran plays or not. But the big question here is only the major omission from your team is Antonio. Do you think is Foden versus Antonio, which is a big deviation you're taking? It's a big risk you're taking there.
It's a big risk I'm taking. Huge risk. Not sitting right with me that I have Lukaku and Wang as my forwards at the moment. Not sitting right with me at all, especially when Bamford is going to be fit soon. DCL is going to be fit soon.
It doesn't seem, because you have two ends of the spectrum. If you had one, like, you know, Lukaku and a Jimenez, I'd say it's a much better structure, right? It's give you something like this. It puts you at two ends of the spectrum completely.
Yeah, but it's just that note that I wrote to myself. And a lot of times I've spoken about balance, etc., etc. But you know the way I've been playing for so many years. I go chasing halls as well. And the entire validity of this draft in my head, where I can do a little bit of mad scientist risky stuff, is because Livramento and White or Duffy are going to be my fourth and fifth defenders.
Yeah, so you don't have a third sub either, right, over here. Because with Davis instead of Brownhill.
I just want to mention I'm going to change Davis to Archer. I've spoken to both Tom Freeman and Adam Hopcroft. He scored a hat-trick for the reserves as well, and they both really, really rate him. They think he's going to break into the first team fairly soon. Just want to mention, for anybody who's looking for a fifth, third striker in the 4.5 million bracket, go Archer instead of anybody else at the moment. Just want to mention that. But it's not sitting right with me that I don't have Antonio. But the reasoning, or how I'm trying to convince myself, is that Phil Foden / Mason Mount. Foden has Burnley home, Brighton away, Crystal Palace at home. And in this period, Antonio, who's top of shots, top of all underlying numbers, has 9 returns so far. So I know the risk I'm taking. It's a huge risk. He's got Everton away, Spurs at home, Villa away. And after that, between 11 to 15, I think everybody might jump off Antonio anyway.
I don't know if his hamstrings will survive till then.
I think he's a much improved and a fitter player now, though. Like, we spoke about it game week one, where he's talking about his new diet and all of that, and he doesn't have those problems anymore. He's not getting subbed off at 70 minutes anymore. He's playing 90 minutes.
Playing Europa League also after that.
So I think we put that on the side now in terms of Antonio's hamstrings, because Danny Ings had that breakthrough 20.
I was waiting to see if you were factoring that in your decision. I was waiting for you to say, oh, I'm hoping Antonio is going to get injured soon anyway.
No.
It was a bit
of a trap. Put that on the side, because Danny Ings had that breakthrough 20 goal season at Southampton when he was fit. And if I had to wager on Antonio being fit throughout this period and not being fit, I'd say he'll be fit because of his new regime and all of that, the reading that we've done. So this is the big risk that I'm taking. I just think that game week... where's the season ticker? I keep losing it. Game week 11 onwards, they play Liverpool at home, Wolves away, City away, Brighton at home, and Chelsea. I think at this point, people will probably think about losing Antonio and move into another forward anyway.
Who shows That's from? The thinking. Like, you know, Calvert-Lewin, if somebody shows from Calvert-Lewin, Bamford, Jimenez, by then, probably.
But I am not sleeping right not having Antonio in my team.
Let's talk about Wang a little bit.
But wait, let's just discuss Antonio. Sure, do you think I should get him in my team?
So this is interesting, because one thing that surprised me about Bakker's wildcard is he kept Benrahma alongside Antonio, and his logic was that West Ham are a good attacking side. They'll keep scoring against Antonio. Right. But I don't think that is going to be the case. And what was telling for me the last game against Brentford was their first half performance, right after the back of a Europa League game. And this is a general pattern, you see. Teams that play in the Europa League, they are sluggish in the first half and they pick it up as the game goes on, or they start well and they lose their legs in the second half. Yeah. And Moyes is actually taking that competition pretty seriously. They are top of the, they won 2 out of 2 games. Maybe they can start resting later on, and they might rest Antonio, but the supporting cast still needs to play, right? they don't have that deep a squad. So I don't think there's any reason to sell Antonio. He's still top for shots. There's no other forwards that are really standing out. Your Calvert-Lewins, Bamfords are injured. They might come back to forward, but in my opinion, Antonio, would it surprise you to score against Liverpool? No. Wolves, City away also. I think I remember him scoring there last season.
He scored twice against them, if I remember correctly.
So Brighton, Chelsea. Yeah. So you could back him to score against anyone. I don't think there's a reason to sell Antonio at all. And I wouldn't for somebody like Foden. It's not, doesn't sit right with me at all.
Right. So I'm still contemplating that. I just don't know if I want to lose Foden at the moment.
I see your point. And the thing is, I think I would be more comfortable, honestly, losing Son. Foden, if you really wanted to like do that, like, you know, if you really feel that confident on Foden, you could move Son there, put the money in, like, you know, Wang, upgrade Wang to somebody else.
Yeah, upgrade Wang to Ivan Toney or Armstrong, who you're going to be talking about later, and just move to 3-4-3. That's an option. Yeah, Son is an option. Is an option. It also becomes a little easier if Trent is not fit.
Yeah,
I can just downgrade Trent to maybe a 5 million defender or get Ruben Dias in there. I think in my head, if Trent is not fit, I'm going Dias. That's the sort of thinking.
Easily. Then you can upgrade him when he's fit again. It's easier that way.
And you don't need to hurry, right? Because you're dealing with Dias, Cancelo, Chilwell.
Correct.
So whenever you want to get Trent, you get Trent. So, but if Trent is fit, he's in my team. That's where I am at the moment. I'm scared of not owning Antonio, especially because he's just so good. At the moment, he's top of non-penalty XG. He's also improved as a player compared to last season.
Yeah. I don't think there's any reason if you're really feeling strong on Foden, his Son who I'd get rid of.
All right.
Forwards?
Fair enough. Any midfielders we want to discuss though? KDB we've spoken about.
Yeah. We're talking about most of the big guys. Mount we touched upon. Jota is injured if you're hearing for Portugal. Not really much to touch upon there. Everton mids, Palace mids.
What if the early kickoff on Saturday for Game Week 8 is Liverpool? What if you get news that Jota is starting? Would you throw him in?
With Firmino about, I guess, no. I still
1 week punt, Watford at home, you wouldn't throw him in?
No, I don't like booking transfers in. I don't like booking transfers in right for the next week because I don't know with Jota. He's carrying an injury. With Firmino back, I just can't invest in Jota. One of them has to be injured for me to invest in Jota.
All right. Fair enough. You're not going there at the moment. You're not just... You're building a long-term draft. Cool. And then any other midfielders? Newcastle, Brentford. We've spoken about Wolves. We've spoken about nobody in the midfield bracket for Wolves. City, we've spoken about...
Burnley, Palace.
Zaha? Yeah.
Nah, with all these 5.5 guys, I don't think 6.9 Zaha appeals to me.
Even if he's on pens?
Nah, I just don't like Zaha as an FPL asset. Very frustrating.
All right. Great. I was hoping Leon Bailey would be fit by that. He's somebody I would consider if he's fit, but once Absolutely. He gets a start and plays 70,
I want to see
2-3 minutes.
Games, not just fit one game and then blow his hamstring again the next game. I would be happy
because
to wait
he's also
2-3 games.
He's known to be injury prone in Germany as well, so that's also a factor. But I made a little watch list for the wildcard, and Bailey was in there as an option because he's shown a lot when he's played. Chelsea, Mason Mount is an option. You agree he's an option?
I think he's
an option.
I definitely think he is.
Yeah, because he's sort of my safety net if Foden doesn't work out in my head. Where I'll get Burnley at home with Foden, and if he doesn't start, I'll just move to Mount versus Norwich at home in game week.
Because everyone and his dog is going to own Lukaku. Your points from like game week 9, I don't think you're going to be making much gains in EO. So you needed one at least. And that's the appeal with Chilwell, right? We're looking at Chilwell as another attacker. So Mount is also obviously an option there.
Right. People are asking, what about Rafinha? So we discussed this earlier, Chris. He's playing 36 hours prior to his game on the Saturday. That said, I think Bielsa, in his press conference, will tell us what's happening with Rafinha, whether he expects him to come or not. I think we'll just have more news closer to deadline when it comes to Rafinha.
But as of now, we are expecting him to miss game week 8. But our recommendation is bench him for that week because the fixtures after are great.
Correct. And it looks like he's going to play game week 12 as well. There is no threat of international break because Brazil played 4 or 5 days away from that Saturday.
I think we can move on. I think we covered all the bits. Benrahma is probably the possible one, but I think we touched on West Ham's fixtures already being quite...
I wouldn't double up. He's looked good. He's looked great. I wouldn't double up.
Right. In terms of forwards, I don't think we need to talk about Lukaku much.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of a chat about Timo Werner hogging his points, which did happen on Southampton. Let's face it, he hogged a lot of shots. Even the goal that Werner got, if Werner wasn't there, it was Lukaku's goal. He was right behind. Yeah. But I just back the talent of the player. That's it. And we know, we saw it in the Villa game where he needs 2 chances to get 2 goals. That's the kind of lethal finisher he is. And Chelsea are going to create chances. So I'm not compromising on Lukaku, however he's looked so.
Yeah. Let's not waste any more time. Let's talk about the budget, guys. Primarily more. Let's talk about Jimenez. Bakker is quite big on him. I think he's got good numbers. I think he's created the most chances of any forward in Europe so far. Somebody messaged that.
Yeah. Which is also, in a way, good for his newfound strike partner, Wang, as well. But it's more than the numbers. It's the kind of returns that Jimenez had in the last 2 game weeks that has me convinced about him. The goal, world-class goal, both the assists that he gave to Wang in that game against Newcastle, they were brilliant pieces of football where he created out something out of the nothing just by himself, which I think just bodes well for both Jimenez and Wang as assets. If Jimenez is showing that he's capable of producing these moments of magic again, which is what he's done previously as well. I don't think numbers have been too much of an issue for Jimenez anyway, because Wolves weren't very attacking under Nuno at the moment. It looks like they could be more attacking under Bruno Lage, but Jimenez just does the other work, other stuff so well that even if he's getting one return or one goal, his baseline bonuses are really good. So for Jimenez, a single goal or a single return probably gets you 2 or 3 more points in bonus points. Which is something that always works in his
mind. No. I've been looking at Wang now, and we have fortunate to chat to Nathan Judah, who's a correspondent for Wolves, and he's quite bullish on Wang himself. He said, don't read too much into what happened in Germany. He had a lot of issues with COVID and settling in and all the stuff. He's a great player. And there are shades of the Jota-Jimenez partnership. So Wang is playing on the left, but it's very similar to the role that Sun plays for Spurs, where Jimenez drops deep, Wang cuts inside. So he's definitely going to have significant goal threat. He's a great player. But the fixtures, right? I think the fixtures for Wolves are a bit harder than they look on paper. It's short term. You talk about Villa away. I think it's a tough game right now with the way they're playing. Leeds are much stronger on their own patch. Everton are not going to be very easy to break down. Then you have Palace who are away. Then it gets a bit better than this West Ham, Norwich, Burnley, then Liverpool. It's not that easy, the fixture run.
And let's face it, for spending about $500,000 or 0.8 million more is essentially competing with Tony and Armstrong at the moment for that budget striker position. You're currently on Armstrong, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Right. No, so Armstrong is what I'm looking at. And let's look at Armstrong's fixtures. Is Leeds, Burnley.
At home.
At home. Leeds, Burnley, Watford, Villa, Norwich. And as Lucy said, ultimately, like, you know, the goals, they're going to rely on him for goals, and he's the more nailed option out of Adams, Broja, and all these guys.
So what do you think?
I think it's worth it because we were talking also to Craig, who's also a Southampton, he was mentioning that Saints are yet to record a win. Saints aren't that bad a team to have 0 wins after 7 matches. I don't think that's where they deserve to be on the table. So if they need goals now, so if they need wins, they need goals. So I think the next few fixtures, they're going to score a few. And I think Armstrong, despite not scoring only one, I think he's still second for shots. Only Antonio
shot hogger.
Total shot hogger.
Yeah. So it's a shot hogger.
It's a fixture play. And see, I can't afford anywhere near Jimenez because if you want to go for Sun, and it's an easy downgrade to Wang. If I don't like see Armstrong for the next 2 home fixtures, I can go to Wang. With 5.5, is very hard to go anywhere else.
I think why I like Armstrong is because you are a tad bit closer to Ivan Toney. Now, I think in game week 10, both of us are going to be looking at Ivan Toney as options anyway, because he's got Burnley, Norwich, Newcastle as a 3. And I think those are the kind of fixtures which might favor an Ivan Toney more than an Mbeumo. You know what I'm saying? Where he's going to be playing closer as goal. The impetus is going more to be on Brentford also. To attack. They're going to have more possession, etc. So that's one of the reasons why I like Armstrong as well, where you can give him the two home games and move to Ivan Toney. So that's one of my problems. I'm sitting on Hwang right now. And my thinking is, if Hwang does work and if he does show what he's shown and if he's turned out to be a good asset against Aston Villa and Leeds away, then I don't mind holding him for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, because he's got Everton, Palace, West Ham, Norwich, Burnley, which is a good run of five fixtures. Those are the good run of five fixtures. The first two are the slightly tougher ones in my head at the moment. So that's where I am. But I can't find money in my squad.
Another thing that Judah mentioned is that Hwang is likely going to get substituted. I think Trincao's been diagnosed with COVID, so that might reduce one option. But every 65 minutes, if they haven't scored, that's the position that's where they're going to throw a Podence on. They're going to throw a Traore on. So 90 minutes are going to be rare for Hwang.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, but let's just address that they were two well-taken finishes as well. Only had two chances.
I thought the goalkeeper should have done better.
But his placing of the ball was in the corner of the net.
He exploited poor goalkeeping for sure.
And good movement as well. So he did show, he should probably, on the balance of things, gotten one return. But he could have easily had an assist also where Trincao hit the post as well. So it comes down to how much do you need to convince yourself to go for a player as well, right? And do you need that much conviction and thinking if you have... I don't think he's a reverse OOP for sure. I think he's playing the striker role.
He's a striker, very much so.
Striker in that team, but... If I had the cash, I'd probably move to Armstrong. I don't have the cash at the moment. Because I just know for a fact that I probably want Ivan Toney game week 10 on.
Let's talk about Toney. What do you think about going Toney for right now in like a wildcard register, set and forget?
All for it. Absolutely all for it. I have no problems against going
Did you see that stat I shared with you? I think that over the last 8 months, he's like 20th for non-penalty XG or something like that.
Doesn't matter. I think the games that are coming... I mean, not the Chelsea game, but Leicester have also been bullied in the air a lot in the first 7-8 game weeks. So 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, I think are good for Ivan Toney. Absolutely no problems going with him on wildcard right now. 90-minute man on penalties. He's got good chances of assist as well as goal potential. Many routes to points. I think he's going to be good on bonus as well. No problems at all going there. If in your case, I could... Find 0.3 million more to go for Ivan Toney and avoid the Armstrong thing. Even if you're sitting on two Brentford attackers, I would.
Let's just go through my draft. I think any other forwards in particular we want to discuss?
Yes, Gabriel Jesus.
Go ahead. That's a curveball. I wasn't expecting that one. Go ahead.
Just worth mentioning that he's pretty much got that right-wing position nailed on at the moment. His first choice at the moment. The problem is that he's not going to be playing game week 8. And can you afford to sit because he's playing for Brazil and they're not expecting him to come back? Or we don't know what the situation is going to be, but they're playing 36 hours prior to... Are they playing on the Sunday or are they playing on the Saturday?
Who are we talking about again? City?
City, yeah. They're playing on the Saturday. In game week 8. So it looks very likely that he's not going to be playing game week 8 and that rules him out as an option for me at the moment. And... we can't move forward without discussing Timo Werner. I mean, I'm on the pod. He's looked really good, but I'm not considering him at the moment because at 8.5 million, I don't know if he's going to be playing. He might play game week 8 based on form. Then he might miss two chances. And then when you have Kai Havertz and Hakim Ziyech sitting on the bench, I don't know if he's going to be playing game week 9. I don't know if he's going to be playing game week 10. I need to see 2, 3, 4 more games before going the Timo Werner route. Not 2-3, maybe he scores against Brentford and I'm going in on him on game week 9 against Norwich. But I'm not there yet. No Werner.
Yeah,
what do you totally reckon?
Agree. Totally agree. Do not go there.
Despite having the highest shots, despite having the highest chances, despite
he did
scoring...
that last year also. But there's so many better proven options. There's no need.
Mihir is asking us whether we should consider Neil Maupay. Mihir is City and... Liverpool in 9 and 10.
And in general, Brighton, I don't think they're going to score that many.
Yeah. The only other striker I'd actually consider right now is Ollie Watkins. Genuinely, I'd consider him. I think he's a good pick. Wolves at home, Arsenal away, West Ham home, Southampton away, Brighton at home, Crystal Palace away.
Good fixtures.
I think good fixtures, good attacking team. I expect him to take along, and I don't expect him to you to change that position for a while.
The thing with Villa is they're right now playing a three. Now, I'm interested to see what system they'll play when Bailey and Buendia are playing together in that team. I don't think they can play that in a three. I think they'll have to switch to a four. Then how Watkins plays, where Ings plays, little bit up in the air.
Yeah. That said, I think they did play with all of them once, and Ings was the sort of drifting in deep, creating sort of a player, and Watkins was at the tip of the forward line. So I think he's going to continue playing in that forward line, because he's also the first line of defense in that Villa team, right? Where he's the one who's a press monster, etc. as well. So I don't think he's going to move any deeper. I'm not too worried about that.
Hmm. I think that's about it in terms of players. Let's just go through our drafts.
Ian Acho, Tom Freeman.
He got injured apparently, I think, for Nigeria yesterday. That's what Apple Bonkers I read on one of his tweets.
One to monitor, I guess. Again, I'm not there with Leicester yet. I just haven't seen enough from them.
Something is offered. And Ndidi being out for a while
also is a problem. Cool. Let's discuss our drafts.
Cool. I think I'll go through mine first. Ramsdale and Foster in goal. Duffy, Chilwell, Trent, Cancelo, Livramento.
Zoff. Sorry, cut you. We haven't discussed the third highest point scorer in FPL at the moment. Jamie Vardy, somebody we keep ignoring.
That's true, right? And we just did that again.
Like the third highest goal scorer. I mean, if I'm considering Werner, if I'm looking at Gabriel Jesus, why am I not looking at somebody who's scored goals and might continue ticking along? United, Brentford,
Leicester, no? Arsenal. Again, what we're talking about, Leicester, we're just not trusting. The Vardy keeps scoring.
Vardy keeps scoring.
And it's interesting.
Still, there's something in me which doesn't make me look at him at all. Like, not even looked at him. I haven't even bothered looking at his price once.
I know he's 10 and a half, something around that price.
Yeah. Go for Son, who... Yeah, just something worth considering. If you want to go Vardy, I'm not against it. Good pick, has done well. I'm just not looking at him right now, and I can't offer a good reason why.
These tougher fixtures, Vardy likes these tougher fixtures.
Right. And, you know... And just while we're on that topic, NDD is out. Leicester's been a mess. And 50% of the game is still going to own Ronaldo against Leicester City. Little worried about that also, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Leicester seems like, and we like, we don't hate playing against Leicester City. We do well when we go there generally. So a little bit worried about that haul at the moment. But
while talking about Ronaldo, let's just talk about, do you think Ronaldo benched Ronaldo or was it Oli?
I think Ronaldo benched Ronaldo.
Even after that reaction while walking off the pitch?
Yeah, I think Ronaldo benched Ronaldo. I don't think it was Oli benching Ronaldo. I think they spoke about it a few times earlier as well, where they're going to talk about how Ronaldo's feeling before a game. And I think it was a plan to get him playing 45 or 35 minutes in that game.
Yeah, Saf completely sold Oli out.
Yes, completely sold Ole out. The moment that happened in my head, I'm like, yeah, Ole's numbers, days are numbered at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If Sir Alex has spoken, then I think the wheels are already in motion. And the fixture run is difficult, right? Ole is going to be under
tremendous
pressure.
I like that
used
that analogy, the wheels, with Ole at the wheel. The wheels are coming off.
I think... But yeah, if you want to go for Vardy, guys, go for Vardy. But I don't have a good reason to explain why I'm not going for him.
Same here. Yeah. Can't think of anything. Just that I'd like to prefer to put my money elsewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll just go through that again. Foster, Ramsdale, Duffy, Chilwell, Trent, Cancelo, Livramento. Midfield, Son, Rafinha, Salah, Brownhill, Bumo. Up top, Antonio, Lukaku, Adam Armstrong. And this is bang on the money. 0.0.
So then why are you looking at Mankio? What do you want to upgrade?
A, I could possibly go Chilwell to somebody more nailed on like a Rudiger. Or B, I could go Armstrong
to
Antonio.
It's just such a Zoff thing to do. Possibly. You have zero... Your seven attackers are nailed on 90-minute men. Like, given... I want to tell you this because given the structure that you have in attack, I don't think you need to worry about getting Rudiger over a Chilwell. That's all I want to tell.
And I'm hoping that ultimately Chilwell's just keeping the spot warm for James. Ultimately, whatever it is, I'll just downgrade him to James.
I'm holding a lot more risks in my team and still going for Chilwell. And I see those numbers on your names on the attack. They're all nailed on. Like, yep. I have no doubt in my head they are not nailed. So I think you can afford to take a little bit of a gamble there.
I think that's probably where I'm going to stick with. I can take the odd benching over here because it was the bench depth with Livramento primarily.
Yeah. Right. So, names that are on the fringes of your wildcard that you're maybe looking at?
So let's just talk about, I think in terms of, like I said, the Chilwell spot, I'm sort of 50-50 about Duffy maybe with White. If I had another point one, I might have invested in somebody a little bit more nailed on long term. Armstrong maybe for Huang is something I've considered, but I don't know where I would necessarily use that 0.5. Again, I'd probably go for a Chilwell to like upgrade and all. I could upgrade Chilwell to Rudiger, Duffy to White, Brownhill to Luiz, sprinkle that cash around. But I like Armstrong, so I'm not too keen on that. Going for
just
another
suggestion, if you find 0.1 million, I think Brownhill to Norman is a shout.
He's been benching Billy Gilmore. Can you imagine that? He's been keeping Billy Gilmore out of the team. I don't think that's going to continue.
He's been, so I've been reading up a little on Norman. He's been their best player by a distance. And he's a little bit of a long shot merchant on direct set pieces as well. So I just like that about Norman. So if you're looking for a 5.5 million midfielder, decent shot.
Yeah. But Brownhill stats himself are not too bad. I think he's third for chances created in that Burnley team. I think he's after amongst midfielders for shots also. So not too bad. I like the 4.4. I like, you know me, I like having as minimal possible money on the bench. So seeing 4.2, 4.3, 4.4 is a lovely bit of symmetry over there with a 4.0 bench goalkeeper. I can't do this hybrid thing where you have to play like four, certain weeks you're a four, certain weeks you're a three. I need to have a clear structure, a clear bench. That's how I play.
If we don't get any news on Rafinha, start Duffy. You're starting Duffy?
I'm not sure because we can't really comment on this because there are alleged rumors that Bissouma might be having some legal issues. We can't really pass more comment since the matter is in the court of law. But if that's the case, then I feel more confident in Southampton.
Fair enough. And if that's the case, I might just shift Duffy to White because I think Bissouma is that important to Brighton and Hove Albion as well. Definitely worth monitoring that situation. And draft? I think you're not sure about that Armstrong position. Still looking at.
I might go for the Tony thing, but I like the Armstrong thing. I think there's potential there, the differential than seeing him Tom Freeman's team gives me confidence because this is Tom's forte, identifying these differential guys.
Right. And also, there was a little bit of information that you sent out to me on, I think, Monday, where Southampton are training for 2 weeks now. What's that piece of information?
So Rafa told his players before Wolves, Chelsea and all these Man City games that if you guys can manage not to lose in these games, I'm going to give you a week off during the international break. So he's called them in now. Everyone's training who's not gone for internationals. And he says it's not punishment. He just wants his players sharp because they need a win. Simple as that.
JWP out is not going to affect their attacking impetus, you reckon?
I think it has to a certain extent because he's played so many games back-to-back. It's like, 80, 90 games and like possibly Diallo comes in to replace him in midfield.
But Ella or something. I don't know what's up with Southampton. Yeah.
We don't know exactly who, because we just don't know a world without James Ward-Prowse for them.
Yes. So, not worried about that though. Just the fixtures.
It is a possible concern, but it's a punt I want to take. I see the upside there. Over the next 3-4 matches, I can just set him in there. If he doesn't perform, move him on.
Fair shot.
Because that's I don't really want to play a 3-5-2, which you move 6 million midfielder over there. I don't want to go for an Everton mid. I want to keep the slot probably for Tony. Keep that structure.
I think you and me are going to be on Ivan Tony game week 9 or 10. I think that's something I need to think about. I was talking to Phil Dagger as well, and he's like, have a plan for Ivan Tony. And I was like, I need to have a plan for Ivan Tony.
Yep. Let's talk your draft.
Right. A little more riskier. At the moment, I have Foster and Ramsdale. In my current tinker, an hour ago, I changed up White to Duffy because I liked having Duffy over White if I'm going Ramsdale. I'm still debating Ramsdale Raya. In defense, I have Chilwell, Trent, Cancelo, Livramento, and White or Duffy. In midfield, I have Foden, Bumo, Rafinha, Salah, Son. Up front, Archer is who I have in now instead of Keenan Davis, Lukaku, and Wang. So, a little bit of a risky little draft. In my head, I find that it works a lot more if I have the safety net of a nailed on Ben White. Because talking macro, let's say if Chilwell doesn't start and Cancelo doesn't start in the same game week, it's a nice to have a safety net of two nailed on defenders as your fourth and fifth, and absolutely, compromising on the upside a little. So I think that will depend on Potter's press conference on Friday, like I mentioned. And up front, yeah, the big risk is Antonio not being in my team and just spending so less in attack. But my thinking is that I see holes when it comes to Foden versus Burnley and Son versus Newcastle. And if I'm seeing that, and I'm
Wang could be a value pick. Wang could be the value pick. If he gets one goal, you're going to get another 0.2 price rise. His ownership is going to go to your 15-20% immediately.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, right? Let's say this was 3 or 4 years ago, and we were not content creators and we were not on Twitter and we were just on FFS boards like we were. I would have made exactly this draft and you and probably have discussed with you and not cared about it until Friday next and probably just gone with it. In my head, the only reason I'm going against instinct and thinking about it a little more is because you're a content creator. It slightly matters a little bit more, etc. Normally, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have had any problems taking so many risks on my wildcard. Like, I like all those picks for the upside that they offer. That's all.
Yeah, it's still a relatively duller draft for you. With just like, I would say possibly you have just two. Yeah. I would say you have just two picks who are here who are non-template, maybe three, which will work.
Yeah. And even template aside, right? That's the thinking in my head. I was actually going to make...
maybe Sun also, actually. Yeah. You Sun count is also not template. Four.
Not template, but is a nailed-on pick.
Yes, a nailed-on pick, correct.
Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you fine.
You can hear me?
Just yeah, yeah. Me. Yes.
Yeah. So in my head, I want to actually count with you. So Lukaku is somebody I don't foresee myself having a problem for a while. Rafinha, Mbeumo, Salah, and Son. So 5 out of my 7 attackers, I don't foresee having problems. And it's okay to have two sort of gamble spots in your attack that you might want to shift over fixtures anyway. Sorry. That's the thinking in my head, where I think these 5 I don't foresee having issues with for a while because they're nailed on players, nothing. And they have decent midterm fixtures as well. So I might not want to shift them for a while. So am I okay taking the gambles I'm taking? If Trent is fit, Trent, Livramento, and White are spots where I might not have issues changing them about. And it's okay to have three or four-ish gambles. And I need a really bad week in FPL where all these 4 players are getting injured or not playing for shit to go through the roof. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't think it's that risky also. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
where I am.
It's a good balance. Cool. I think we can wrap up and do a Q&A.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Q&A. We're doing a Q&A. I wasn't expecting a Q&A.
Let's do a short 10-minute Q&A. Send in your questions, guys.
10-minute Q&A. Okay, guys.
You're monitoring the chat. My thing starts lagging. If I have the chat open with this.
Don't monitor the chat. I'll monitor the chat.
Cool.
So I'll ask you, Zoff, since you are on... Son or Foden, who's the better punt? Let's ask you that question.
Son. Son is not a punt. Son isn't a punt at all. Foden is a punt.
Right. Asad is asking Ramsdale or Raya. We discussed this at length.
Yeah, whatever we've discussed, let's just skip over. We can rewatch the pod later.
Yeah. Mir is asking, who is the best guy to go Rafinha if he's out except Bumo? Don't say bench him. Bench him. You'll need Rafinha. He's offering
He wants a 1 week punt, then maybe somebody from Brighton. The best fixture possibly. Who else? And that price Trossard, maybe somebody from Everton. If you want a 1 week punt. In the 6.5 million odd bracket.
How much is just roll the dice with Torres. Just go slightly above and roll the dice with Torres. I think that's the highest upside is there.
For sure.
Just go City. If it works, it works.
Oh, yeah. He's like 6.8 or something now, right? He's dropped so much.
Yeah. Just roll the dice with Torres is what I'd do. Christensen or Tierney? Tierney. I think Christensen is not an option anymore with the emergence of Chalobah as well. What do you reckon?
I think Tierney is a great option by himself. Christensen is not.
Agree. Unaverage was asking that question, which triggers me. Are Jesus and Foden in the safe draft too much? Okay, no, he's not asking if they're nailed. No, it's not too much. If both are starting and your City are scoring 5 goals, you're making 30 points on everybody else.
Just keep in mind, game week 8, Jesus will likely miss out.
Yeah, oh yeah. Jesus is not probably going to play game week 8. If you have slightly more money, I think Mahrez is a beautiful game week 8 punt. Loves playing against Burnley. Has a ton of goals and assists against them. Adi is asking if Greenwood to Foden is worth a -4.
Nah.
Tricky question. Because Leicester have conceded a lot from that side. I just don't know. I don't know if it's worth a -4.
Greenwood's interesting though now because Rashford is also back in the equation. Greenwood's spot now is probably the least secure it's been since the season started.
And Sancho did really well in that previous game. I thought he was the best I've seen him at United as well. So, Gaurav, can you ask a super chat question again? I just missed it. I found the super chat question. This is a super chat from Gaurav. He has Sanchez, Alonso, Christensen, Van Dijk, Marcel, Livramento, Grealish, Douglas Lewis, Rafinha, Salah, Fornals, Bamford, Antonio, Lukaku. Suggest changes, please. Not getting enough points.
I can't remember those names. You have a go.
I'd get rid of Alonso and Christensen to Dias and Cancelo. I think those will immediately start turning to points. And get a playing striker for Bamford. Those are the changes I'd make first. I think get a double city defense. That's where you'll immediately start seeing positive on nailed on points. Townsend or Doucouré? That's off. You were looking
Townsend.
At Everton myths.
Townsend.
All right. Radovich is asking, downgrading Fernandes to Mahrez is a midterm move. It's not a midterm move. It's a one game week punt where Mahrez might not even start. So just have your expectations in place. Mahrez is a one game week punt. That's it. KDB or Son? Jatin is asking.
Price no bar KDB.
For sure. I don't disagree. If you're into going for only nailed on City players.
The fixtures also, I would say, I mean, it's obviously KDB is KDB after all. The fixtures, I think, are good also. Burnley, Brighton, Palace.
Yeah. FPL Salah Abdul is in the chat. He's asking a question. Is Son worth sacrificing Trent and Ivan Toney?
Toney, maybe. Because you could argue that Bumo is a better FPL option. I don't think you could really find that conclusively. But if it came down to Trent or Son, it would definitely be Trent.
I agree. I think everybody's enamored by Chelsea and City defenders looking so good. But it's clear in my head, Trent is a different category.
Completely. He gives you the nailed and attacking. Because you see, if it's with City, either we are going for the guy who's a little bit more rotation prone and attacking, or the guy who is more near like your Rudiger Diaz. Trent is the guy who offers both.
Yeah. That said, if he's out for Watford, he's not in my wildcard draft.
Yeah. If you're out for Watford, I don't mind leaving him out for 2-3 weeks.
Yep. And I'll think of having a plan for him. And cool. My throat is pretty gone now. Cool.
Let's call it. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe button. Also quite keen to hear your feedback in terms of how you like this little bit of a freestyling, no agenda, non-structured wildcard pod. So do throw us, do give us your feedback either in the comments in YouTube or on Twitter and help spread the word. And we reached 15,000 subscribers is something we haven't mentioned earlier. So thank you for that. We really, really, really appreciate your support. And we'll let you know on Twitter when we're podding next. We're not quite sure. We probably have a pod on Tuesday. We'll have it with either Bakker or Soren. We'll let you know more about that later.
See you guys next week. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye. All right.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.